beginner's cooking class for the 3 weeks in January, January 13th, 20th, 27th at 2 o'clock. The classes will be $25, which will include the three classes, the cookbook and a kitchen starter kit. And those of you that would like to come, you are more than welcome to be a part of this, and we also hope this will serve as an outreach effort into our community. And you can call and email to reserve your spot. How did I do?
Perfect.
Okay, good, good. She said I was perfect, Cheryl. Okay, good. The Grace House Tons of Love. You've heard about that. We've announced it. $250 will buy a ton of food for this ministry. Now, you do not have to give $250. You can give far less than that, but it's a time when we work together to help the Grace House in their ministry of sharing food to those that are in need. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $5,000. That's our goal. And I don't know how much we've received to date, but I hope that we're well on our way to surpassing that goal. I encourage you to pray as you give. Join with us on Wednesday at 7:30 in the library for prayer, at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We have some of those that are missing in action on Wednesday night, okay? We've missed a few people on Wednesday night. We have a good group that have come. If you have not been a part of that, we encourage you to come and join with us on Wednesday night. We're studying, along with our time of prayer, the book of Philippians. So Wednesday is our day of prayer for sure. Next Sunday, please take note, mental note in your mind. Our worship will be at 9 o'clock. Our Sunday school will be at 10. If you show up at 11, you're going to see us walking into the parking lot, okay? So next Sunday, 9 o'clock worship, 10 o'clock is our Sunday school, and we'll remain like that for several weeks following that. Yes? The cantata will be at the Methodist Church at 11. And let me say, if you were not here, that's a special time for you to go. And those of you that were here and would like to support them and hear it again, you can go as well at 11 o'clock. You can just leave your car parked and walk across the street for the most part. Next Sunday, I am so thankful. Isn't it amazing how God works things out? Now, I haven't shared this with anybody. I hope it's okay with you. Worship here is at 9 o'clock, okay? I'm going to be here. But worship at First Centerville, where my granddaughter has a special role in the Christmas program next Sunday, is at 10:30. So you see, with a little luck, I can leave here after worship and get there by time to see my granddaughter, okay? So that's where I'm going to be next Sunday during Sunday school here. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must
love one another.
Did you hear that? You must, it says, love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you're loving what? One another. It is a witness to this community how you love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you're my followers, if you love one another. Let me ask you some questions, okay, at this point. Do you build up one another? Do you encourage one another? Do you devote yourself to one another? Do you honor one another? Do you live in harmony with one another? Do you forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you? Do you pray for one another? We're pretty good right there. Do we see like-minded with one another? Do you accept one another? Do you comfort one another? Are you patient with one another? Do you serve one another? We're pretty good right there, too. Do you look to the interest of others? Do you stir up one another? And we've got a new one. You know, I bet you didn't believe there were that many one another's in the Bible. The Bible says that we are to admonish one another. The word admonish means to caution, to advise, to counsel against something. and to urge to a duty. So we are to admonish one another. One of those definitions almost sounds like encouraging one another, but admonish means to say, hey, listen, there's a little something that I see. Encourage, caution, advise, whatever. That's another way in which we can love. We're not to pass judgment on one another or grumble or complain about one another or slander one another or tell a lie to one another, okay? All of that is how we are to show love to one another. And we love one another so that others might know that we are disciples of Jesus Christ by how we love. So that's so important. Our scripture verse this morning is 1 John 1:9. Share it with me if you would. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I had to be very, very sure of myself there because I actually memorized that verse that says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse and purify, sanctify us. You know, I think each of us after we say that verse should say, thank God, amen. Because we are sinners, and as we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us. Take it away. Purify means take it away. You know, 99.44% pure. What am I talking about? Ivory soap, okay? But that's not how Jesus does it. 99.44% is not what he does. What does he do? 100%. Aren't you glad that he forgives us of our sin? As his children. As far as the east is from the west, the scripture says. Now we're going to see the Lottie Moon Christmas video.
Виїжджали на 10-й день війни, і це був самий початок. Рішення прийняв чоловік відправити нас. Я їхала сама, вся родина залишилася вдома. Ми в безпеці, так. І, звичайно, перші слова чоловіку, що ми в безпеці вже. Все, ми на місці, ми у Польщі, нас добре прийняли.
Poland brought in the most refugees out of any country. And through that, the Lord opened the door for us to open a refugee center.
People stay in the house anywhere from 2 days to long term. We have one lady that's been there almost since it opened and is there currently.
Так, цей дім взагалі для мене став як другий дім, тому що ми майже рік тут. Холі, Крістін нас зустріла. Ну, тобто, реально так, я знову відчула, що я в безпеці. І мені необхідно було бути і серед людей, тому що, ну, також важкі часи, якось ну, переживати це все разом було мені легше.
Like to hear what you think about having someone like Holly in the house.
Це наша друга мама, можна сказати.
We started Bible study at the center. And one of the ladies one night was sharing with me that her family was against her studying religion or knowing anything about it. And she didn't know which one was true. And she said, so I just prayed and asked God if he would show me which one is true. Which one should I believe? What can I believe? But then the war happened and I came here. And she's like, and then I realized that God led me here and he led me to you. And so she's like, and now I get to study the Bible and now I can learn. Those are the days that you leave super encouraged about what the Lord is doing. So those are good days.
Come and go and venture out on their own and with your guidance.
church is we support them. As we support them through our monies and our prayers, Lord, that you put your hand on it and multiply. And Father, now as we come to this time to worship you, we ask you just to be with us as a family, as a group, as First Baptist Fort Valley. Just be with us in everything we do. I thank you for each one of you.
We welcome you to the second Sunday of Advent. Advent gives us the opportunity to prepare our hearts for faithful waiting. Our candle today represents faith, and lighting it is a sign that we have faith that all the Lord has said is true. For the last 2 weeks, we've been faithful to bring our lament to the Lord and hang leaves on the trees on our tree of lament that is in the hallway behind the sanctuary. We learned that lament is the biblical form of crying out to the Lord about situations or circumstances that will not change and not even improve unless he works in them. We agree with him that it is bigger than ourselves. Our strength is not enough. Only he can change the situation. I invite you to add your leaf of lament to our tree today. There are provisions on the table. Surrender that lament to the Lord. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a great light has dawned. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, those waiting on an answer from God, those waiting for God to act. Many of us are there today, aren't we? As we prepare our hearts for faithful waiting on the fulfillment of the prophecies of God, I'm thankful we also have the promises of Isaiah 40:1-5 and Mark 1-8. Both speak of the forerunner who came to tell the world that the Messiah was on his way. Isaiah 40:1-5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard years of service have been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged place, a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today, Lord, we prepare our hearts to faithfully wait on you. We choose to reflect on the ways that your prophecy has been fulfilled, and we eagerly ponder what the future will bring. We trust you, Lord, for your word is faithful and true. Amen.
We know that when Christ was born, God sent a star for wise men to follow and search for him. Are you wise? Are you a wise man? Do you search for Christ? If you would, let's stand and sing our hymn of offertory, hymn number 215, We Three Kings of Orient Are. We're going to sing the first, the second, the third, and the fifth verse.
beautiful. And joy and strength he offers all our days, pure and perfect blessings all wrapped in his grace. And when the lights come down, the moments disappear, but he who gives us everything will still be here. For he shines from the star, and he is that shepherd watching over us all, and he is the peace that wise men still seek, a savior born that we might live. He is the gift. A Savior born that we might live. He is the gift.
A Savior born that we might live. He is the gift. Oh, thank you for that beautiful song. I'm not sure I've heard that before. Thank you. It's new. There's a reason then I haven't heard it. I was supposed to make an announcement concerning these beautiful poinsettias down here. If you would still like to purchase one, there's an insert in your bulletin. And if you have purchased one already, you may pick it up after the service, because they need more care than they can get here at the church. And I'm going to get mine and take it home and let it die there. But you are welcome. I think there are 6 that have been purchased already. You're welcome to take them home following the service today. And if you would like one, you can see Dottie or fill out this little form that's in your bulletin this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the 2nd chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And we're going to study one of the characters that I like so much in and around the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. And I read, "On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Did you notice that the word law was used four times in this passage of Scripture? In the 22nd verse, it said, "according to the law of Moses." In the 23rd verse, it says, "it is written in the law." The 24th verse, it says, "with what is said in the law of the Lord." And in the 27th verse, it says, "the custom of the law required." Though Jesus came to deliver his people from the bondage of the law, Jesus was born under the law and obeyed its commands. Matthew 5:17 says, "he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, obeyed the law first by having him circumcised when he was 8 days old. But the circumcision was only the beginning. When Jesus was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph had to come to the temple for Mary's purification rites that we're told about in Leviticus chapter 12. And they also had to redeem the boy since he was Mary's firstborn in regards to Exodus chapter 13. You know, there's something special about a baby. Nothing like a baby. I think back just a few weeks ago over in the fellowship hall, and maybe you saw the baby too. Sarah brought the baby, and the baby was over there at the table. And what happened? We all went around to see the baby. There's something special about a baby. It said if you're a man and want to draw attention to yourself, go to the mall with a baby. Okay, you know, that can be done too. People like to love on babies, be around babies. People love to hold babies. It always amazes me with the first child. Sometimes the parents are always so protective and not wanting people to get too close to the baby and all of that. I said the first child. I think back to my daughter and my son-in-law. Oh, he was protective of that baby. If he took that baby out, he'd put a blanket over the car seat, you know, to protect that baby for any germs and all this kind of thing. But, you know, things change, I guess, when the second and third come along. But there is something special about a baby, and we like to look at them. And, you know, there's times when they really smell good. There are times. When Simeon held this infant child, Jesus, in his arms in the temple courtyard, we see an elderly man who has put his faith in the promise of God. Tradition has it that Simeon was around 113 years old. He realized that this was no ordinary newborn baby. He was the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. And as we observe this man, this saint, with this child in his arms, we learn some valuable lessons about the faith that we all so desperately need. In verse 25, if your Bibles are open, you'll see that Simeon is described as a righteous and devout man. That verse 25, righteous and devout. Righteous means that his life, all of his actions were in line with God's expectations. He was living a life that was pleasing to God. He consistently obeyed God, even when people weren't looking. He wasn't just practicing his good deeds to be seen by others. He was righteous. And then it says that he was devout, which means that he was devoted and sincere in his spiritual life. Now, that's something that each of us should strive for, to be righteous, to be devout. But you know, as you read through the scriptures and as we read this morning, those two words can easily just be read over. Simeon was righteous and devout. But what they actually mean is that he was devoted. He had a lifetime of commitment. Because you see, people just don't accidentally become righteous and devout. That's just not something that happens. This is something that he cultivated in his life, in his walk with God. The key to Simeon's righteous life can be seen in his view of himself, as well as in his relationship with God. If you look to verse 29 in the scripture, you see the word Lord. And you might say, well, you know, you see the word Lord all throughout the Bible, and you sure do. But, you know, in Greek and Hebrew, there are many words that mean Lord. And in this case, this particular word that's used here is an unusual one in so much that it's used only 5 times in reference to God. And Simeon uses it here. And what it means is absolute ownership. Simeon saw God as his sovereign Lord, who had prepared his salvation, looking to verse 30 and 31, and had graciously allowed him to see it. Simeon saw himself as a slave, a servant, a bond servant of his sovereign Lord. Now, when we use the word slave, we know that a slave had no rights. They belonged to their owner, and their only obligation was obedience. So I said, this is something that we need to strive for, to be righteous, to be devout, to see ourselves as a servant, a bond servant, where we're totally committed, understanding that our obligation is that of obedience. Simeon had a high view of God and a very humble view of himself. Sort of retook my mind back to John the Baptist when we read about John when he said, he must become greater, I must become less. You know, that could be our prayer this morning. Lord, I pray that you might become greater in my life and that I might become less, that my life might be more about you than about myself. Lord, I pray that I might commit myself to obedience to your truth. Righteous, devout. You might say, well, how? How can this happen? Some of you might say, you know, I've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 70 years, maybe even 80 years in some of your cases. How can I become more righteous and devout? I said that Simeon, tradition has it, he was 113 years old. What we must do is search God's word to determine how he wants us to live. We should study it with that desire. And we should endeavor to walk with him every single day, striving to live righteously, in obedience, and with an expectation. Within Simeon's life, there was an expectancy. We're told in verse 25 that he was looking for the consolation of Israel. Verse 25 there. This refers back to the time prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40 again, verses 1 and 2. When God would comfort his people, remove their sins by sending the anointed one, the Messiah. That's what Simeon was looking forward to, the coming of the Messiah. How long had he been looking? Probably all of his life. It would have been so easy for him to think, generations have come and generations have gone, and these promises have not been fulfilled. Why should I expect it to happen in my lifetime? Sort of reminds me of where we are today. We're challenged in the scriptures that we too should be righteous and devout, and we too should be living with the spirit of expectation. Expectation of what? What should we be expecting? Christ coming back? What's the next thing on God's calendar? The rapture. The rapture. The scripture tells us that we will not, you know, there's not going to be a warning sign. No warning signs. It says he's going to come like what? A thief in the night. Okay. He's going to come how quickly? The blink of an eye? When can it happen? Anytime? Another word that is used, it's imminent. The rapture is imminent. You know what that means? No more warning signs. There's nothing else that's between now and then. But what happens? What has happened? We become just a little lethargic about that. We say, well, you know, it's been 2,000 years and he hasn't come. Why should I expect it to happen in my lifetime? That's the very same thing Simeon could have said. And it's the very same thing that we say, because there are days that come and days that go that we don't even give it a second thought. That Jesus could come anytime, perhaps even before the conclusion of this sermon or the conclusion of our services today. A spirit of expectancy. And with such a spirit of expectancy, it should cause us to live in a different way. It caused Simeon to live in a different way. His life was obedient. He was devout. He lived a righteous life. The question is, do we live expectantly looking for the Lord to return soon? Just a little lesson in passing. I throw this in for nothing. We have the rapture where Jesus comes in the cloud and we are called up as his children to meet him in the air. He doesn't come back to the earth, folks. We are to meet him in the air. The rapture is not the second coming. Okay, the rapture and then what takes place? The 7 years of tribulation. I almost got it wrong. You know, we know when the second coming of the Lord Jesus is going to be. It's going to be following the tribulation, which is going to be 7 years. The second coming is going to follow that 7 years of tribulation. Then there's going to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. You know, we need to study this just a little bit. And as we study it and as we read it in the scripture, we get a spirit of expectation. expectation were just like the writers in John wrote in Hebrews, as God spoke to us, Lord, come. Come quickly. Come soon. Come now. But why not? Why hasn't Jesus come? The scripture in 2 Peter, I believe it is, say he's patient with us. Patient, not wanting any to perish, that it all should come to repentance. Okay, I need to get back on our message here this morning, okay? Maybe you are thinking that, you know, it's been 2,000 years and it hasn't happened. You know, when people live with a spirit of expectation concerning the Lord's return, they experience a different and better life. You know, you live differently. Maybe you will crank it up just a little bit as far as your desire to live in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. People of faith live expectantly, waiting faithfully on God's fulfillment of his promises. To have faith in our Lord means to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're told that that's the way it was with Simeon, and we have to stop and remember that this was before Pentecost, okay? The Holy Spirit is mentioned three times in verses 25 through 27. In verse 25, it says, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Again, this is before Pentecost. Verse 26, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. He was directed by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple courts, and he had a divine encounter. To walk by the Spirit means to depend on him consciously for everything you do. To depend on him to resist temptation. To ask him for insight into his word. Do you know, we say that the scripture was inspired by what? The Holy Spirit, right? And who dwells within the believer? The Holy Spirit. So who better to give insight into the scripture than the Holy Spirit? It also means that we rely on him for the right attitude in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials. And it also means that we seek him for wisdom in difficult decisions. And as we look to the Holy Spirit, it also affects our attitude, because through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, our attitude is one that is filled with love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To have faith in Christ means to live righteously and expectantly in the power of the Holy Spirit. God rewarded Simeon's faith so that he held in his arms the very Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Holy Spirit had promised. Those who have faith in Christ, as Simeon, are rewarded with an understanding of the things of God. When Jesus was born, King Herod had to call in the chief priest and the scribes to discover what the Old Testament said about the place where he would be born. They had the correct answers, but they missed the reality of it all. The reality of it all was revealed to humble shepherds. And who else? To this godly man, Simeon. He had been waiting on God for this very moment, for this very event. Simeon understood through the Holy Spirit that this very child that was in his arms was the promised Messiah. The Spirit revealed to him that not all people would welcome him. And that also there would be opposition resulting in much anguish for Mary. Verses 34 and 35, we see that. From Isaiah the prophet, Simeon knew that this child would be for Israel. Isaiah 8:14 says, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over. You know, even the disciples seemed to be caught off guard by the opposition Jesus faced. They didn't expect the cross. Jesus told them on many occasions about what was going to take place in the future so that they might be prepared. But you know, Simeon seemed to know that God's anointed would cause division and opposition. He also knew that God's revelation through the Messiah was also for the Gentiles. What insight that only God's Spirit could give him. That's the kind of understanding we should seek as we have our faith in the Lord. We should pray not only for knowledge, but that we might have insight into the ways of God, so that we can have divine wisdom to discern our times and to live a godly life in these last days. So often you read about the last days. When are the last days? Those days from the ascension until what? The rapture. The last days. And we're living in those days. Those who have faith in our Lord, like Simeon, are rewarded with the fulfillment of their godly desires. For Simeon, this one moment in the temple courtyard, his desire came to reality. And it made all of his life worth living. His deepest desire in life had been to see the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. Now, maybe in the days leading up to this, his expectation might have been of a powerful king coming. Maybe one riding on a charger, sitting on a throne. Sometimes our understandings are not quite right. What he actually saw was a poor common couple with a newborn baby going through the everyday rituals of cleansing and presentation as prescribed in the Jewish law. That's verse 24. But what we find is the Holy Spirit revealed a simple statement to Simeon. You know what it was? This is the one. This is the one. This baby is the Messiah. Wow. You know, our pastor search committee has been busy at work. It could very well be that their work could be coming close to an end in the not too distant future. But you know what their prayer is? Lord, reveal to us the one. Okay? Reveal to us the one. And you know, the Holy Spirit, it said, led him into the courtyard. This is the one. And you know how Simeon responded? You see it in the 29th verse. He says, I'm ready to die. Now that I've seen the Christ, I'm ready to die. You see, his godly desire had been fulfilled. Oh, what a marvelous place to be in life, no matter what your age might be, than to come to the point of being able and ready. I'm ready. Anytime, I'm ready. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. The question could be, do you have godly desires? Simeon did. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I wonder if that was Simeon's life verse. I don't know. But the scripture is plain. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This does not mean the Lord will grant all your selfish wants. With the promise comes a condition. What is the condition right there? He gives the desires of the heart to those who delight themselves in the Lord. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you know what happens? His desire becomes your desire. Those who have faith in Christ will be, as Simeon was, rewarded with a readiness for death. Verse 29 actually puts it this way. Now, Lord, let your bond servant depart in peace according to your word. Now, there's a word there that I love, and it's the word depart. It has some beautiful meanings. Okay, now think back to the reference with me. Think back to the reference. He says, now, Lord, let your bondservant depart in peace. And that word depart means to be released as a prisoner. Lord, just set me free like a prisoner is set free. Another beautiful way of looking at that is to untie a ship and to set sail. Lord, I'm ready to depart. I'm ready to set sail. Another way of looking at that word depart is to take down a tent. I'm ready to move on. I have another home. Another way of looking at it is to unyoke a beast of burden, to set them free from their burden and their labor. Now, Lord, let your bond servant depart in peace. He had watched for the Messiah all of his life. Now he has seen him. He's ready to go home. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we find in the book of Philippians. How many times have we sung that old song? Some of you don't even know this song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, that's the spirit that we should have. Getting up and saying, you know, my citizenship is in heaven. I eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he going to do? He's going to transform this lowly body so that it'll be like his glorious body. You know, you're not ready to die until you've experienced Jesus Christ as God's anointed Savior. You're not ready to die until you've welcomed him into your life as your own Lord and Savior. But once you know that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered your sin in such a way that you can stand before the holy God, the judgment seat of Christ is what we're talking about. You can stand there in the righteousness of his Son, the Messiah, the Savior, then you're ready to die in peace. The Lord was born to bring salvation through his death. Can you say with certainty, Jesus Christ is my salvation? If he's your salvation, you can have hope no matter how difficult your circumstances might be. You know, I came up early. Did you notice? I had forgotten that Maria was singing. And I sat there, but there was a reason for that. Because as I looked out, I looked at all the people that I've been praying for. This morning we have a lot of people here right now that are going through difficulties in their life. I can start right down here, begin to work my way back, over in here, and then make my way back through here. See some folks that have gone through difficulties already and your own recovery, and still others that are going through difficult times in your life. Am I right? Take just a second to look around. You can look backwards. Look around. Look backwards. Look at these folks. I'd start calling out names, but I'd leave one out. I don't want to do that. No matter what you're going through right now in your life, no matter what circumstances you're dealing with right now, if Christ is your Savior, you have hope no matter what your circumstances are. Whether you're suffering with a deadly disease or grieving over the loss of a loved one or facing overwhelming trials or pain, or no matter what your situation, you can have hope if you will trust in Jesus Christ as God's salvation to you. There's hope. We're just passing through. Or are you striving to live a righteous, devout life? And is there an expectancy in your heart? Maybe even today. Do you have godly desires? I've shared some of mine. I can make it real quick. I have a desire to stand and preach on my 90th birthday. I really do. Some of you know that story. There's a story behind that. Do you have a godly desire? But the most important thing is, do you have Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? If so, no matter what you're going through right now, you can find that peace. And just as Simeon said, I'm ready. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word, for the truths of your scripture, for the prophecy that we find within your word. And Lord, this morning we pray that if there's one here who is yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray as your spirit works in a convicting way within our hearts that they might receive your grace and mercy, your forgiveness, and in so doing that they might place their faith in you as Lord and Savior of their life. We rejoice in this, and Lord, for the rest of us, I pray that if we're not living that obedient life and we're not seeking to be devout and righteous in the life that we live, Lord, that you might forgive us. Lord, that we might just come perhaps even this morning and kneel at the altar or stand in prayer asking for your forgiveness and recommitting ourselves to you. And Lord, if there are those in need of a church home, we pray that they might come and grow in your love with us as we seek to serve you and reach out to this community with the gospel. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we stand and sing, I invite you to respond.
Our hymn of invitation is O Little Town of Bethlehem, hymn number 196.
O little town of Bethlehem, how
morning I rejoice as I look around and I see worship service that's filled with wonderful people that love each other.
So good to see you, Jeffy. I'm glad that you're able
to be
here. I send that message out to some of you that's been struggling. So glad that you're able to be here.
Couple of things not to forget. If you have
lied before you said yes, don't forget that, okay?
And something special you don't need to forget about next Sunday, and what's that? 9 o'clock is worship, and 10 o'clock is Sunday school. And if you come at 11, we'll shake your hand as we're leaving, okay? I hope that you have a safe, healthy season as we move toward Christmas. And hope to see you Wednesday.
Thank you, Lord, for this day and for this time. We worship you. We praise you. And Lord, I pray that each of us might live with an expectation in our heart of your return. As we live, may we glorify you in the life that we're living. And may those around us see
we're your disciples because of the way in which we have love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
I didn't even see the verses on the bulletin.